Hello, welcome back, everybody, to another year of the Sunday Podcast.
I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Back in 2025 for our fifth season. You can expect more of this.
He's claiming that he was ill before the semifinal, whatever. But, you know, I just feel like at that point he was just looking for attention.
And some of this.
And you normally say no human is limited. So I can't limit myself, or I can't just say I can do.
As well as event coverage around all the major races on the UK circuit.
And if you're a fan of the pod, please give us a rating and review on your preferred podcast streaming service.
And if you want to stay up to date with all the latest news, give us a follow on Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
As always, thanks for listening. See you next time. And we hope you enjoyed the episode.
Hello. Welcome back, guys. Brought to you by sportsshoes.com, as always. Look, Matt's finally back from Kenya. He wanted to announce that, as everyone's been missing him. But we thought we better get ourselves stuck into lots and lots of news on the athletic scene. We've had loads of races that we haven't chatted about. We've also had the British team that has finally been, I guess, officially confirmed yesterday with the closing of those world ranking qualification spots. Talk through that, get excited for Tokyo, and go from there, mate.
Mate, it feels like ages since I've done one of these. So, I'm pleased to be back, but I did have an epic time in Kenya. Got the inside scoop on how Beatrice Chebet's preparing for the world champs. I think she comfortably does the 5 and 10k double. No one could touch her. I saw a ridiculous session from her. But yeah, man, let's dive into this British team. It is, as expected, with zero change.
Yeah, it is, right? And it's a weird one. Like, they obviously do the announcement with all the world ranking spots. And I feel a bit sorry for the athletes. Obviously, Zach was in that. In that kind of bracket where he kind of knew he wasn't going to get a world ranking spot, but all these posts are coming out saying, "Oh, Zach Seddon selected for Tokyo," you know, and it's a bit of a weird way to do it, don't you think?
Yeah, I think I personally think you just don't mention those who are in the invite list unless they get the call up and British Athletics accept them and they announce them in this sort of second wave, because so many people seem to be confused by it. And it was confusing, to be fair. And yeah, like, everyone knew there wasn't really a chance at all, just because of the points that he'd achieved over the last 12 months. If it was done on times, he would have been out, like, because he was obviously just outside the standard and on times, his ranking was obviously a lot better than the points he had. So it would have had much more of a chance that way. But yeah, when it's done on the ranking points, no chance at all.
Yeah, let's get ourselves stuck into the team then. Let's start the women's eight, mate, because obviously, I guess the main story, if you like, is Georgia Hunter-Bell in the 800 with Keely Hodgkinson and Gemma Reekie, and she is not contesting the 1500 meters.
Yeah. I mean, that's an incredibly strong team, right? You're going to have both of those going head-to-head. Although I was a little, I guess, disappointed is probably pretty harsh, but Georgia Bell in the 800, I actually think seeing her race the 800 the last couple of weeks, look, it's very difficult. There's no right or wrong. I think she's just so good at both. But seeing her race the 800 the last couple of weeks, I think she's just not quite as aggressive and it doesn't seem to pay like really close attention to the head of the field in the 800. And I feel like when you've got the likes of Keely and Wera and these people, and we haven't even seen Deguma, we don't know what she's up to, what sort of shape coming in. I think you can't give these ladies an inch. And it's the same in the men's game. You just can't give up front an inch because the depth is so good in the pack. And look, Georgia's always closes fast, always has a late kick. But I just think it's going to be, you have to navigate those rounds. And that semi-final is going to be, I think it's going to be quite, she'll get through, but it's going to be very, very challenging for her. And then, of course, you've got the final as well. But Vera is looking amazing. Amazing in that Diamond League final.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest changes as well is having Keely back and the way she just like she just rips races open, like goes from being a pretty tight bog standard 800. You can finish really well, whatever it is, but Keely's got that ability to just blow the race open and create massive gaps. And like you say, it's when that sort of thing happens that everyone else really struggles.
Agreed. I mean, I don't know why she didn't double, because the 1500, she's the bronze medalist from last year at the Olympics. And the 1500 is first for the women.
That's what she said. So she said in an interview, if the 1500 was second, she'd have done both, because basically at the moment, she thinks that the 800 is a stronger event. And so she wants to put her eggs in that basket and then would have come back and then done the 15 if she could. But yeah, the way it's worked out.
I don't know though. Like, I guess she knows what shape she's in. And, you know, I guess we're dumb if we question Trevor and Jenny on these things because the success they've had with so many of their athletes.
I also think, mate, before Keely came back, we've been saying all season that Georgia Bell is the best 800 meter runner in the world. And so just because there's been a couple races with Hodgkinson back that we've sort of been like, maybe she's not quite as strong as we thought. I don't think it changes all that much on base. Like, she still is well up there. And I do think if you think about the depth over the 15, actually there's more chance of her being run out of a medal over 1500 meters than there is over the 8. I'm not saying she's like guaranteed, but look, nah. The 800, right? She could get silver. Like, I think Keely is just head and shoulders above. In the 15, is she going to get silver? I'm not so sure. I don't think she's got a chance of getting silver.
Jess Hull looks like she's just been hammering it for too long now. So again, her darling, Jess Hull's just been getting after it too much. And yeah, she actually looks like she might have just gone over the edge. We'll see what she's like come the world champs. But actually, I think the one advantage Georgia has in the 1500 is she knows the athletes. Georgia's competed against these girls so much. Her head-to-head record against, like, well, I'm just going to call the rest of the field. You take out Kipyegon, you take out Segai and Hull. Georgia's head-to-head record against the rest of the field, she dominates them. Mm. Like, she never loses. Yeah. She always comes out on top. She always just beats the pack. That's what she does best. And I feel like she knows exactly what she's going to get from those women. Whereas there's a serious level of uncertainty in the 800. How is she going to respond to sort of two or three sharper rounds? And for me, it was like the 1500s first. So I would have thought that would lean her to do the double because she can do the 1500. She's comfortable in that event. She might not be running as well as she'd like in that event. I mean, but she's beaten them all before. She's Olympic bronze medalist. She does the 1500 and then she has a free hit at the 800, like a complete free hit, zero pressure. But it is, I mean, we talk about doubles. It's ridiculously hard. Like, the world champs only spans over 9 days or whatever it is. And to be doing six races in 9 days, it's incredibly difficult. And so I do understand why she has gone with the 800, but for me, there would have been a free hit at the 8, given that she hasn't. And again, she hasn't done it in a championship. So there's a big risk. Whereas a 1500, she's done it multiple championships, indoors and obviously outdoors. And she just looks so comfortable in that event now. And she can dispatch of pretty much any women, bar your real big hitters. And I think Hull's now looking vulnerable to her. It's hard to go off just one race, but I think Hull is starting to just look a little vulnerable.
But that's what I mean. And those two big hitters, though, are big hitters, and I think they're untouchable. And then you throw that in, and then you're all fighting for one medal, right? And then, whereas over the 8, I think the only person that's untouchable is Keely. And so then you're all fighting for two medals. And so I think your odds are a bit better. I think she'll respond well to three rounds, like having a bit more strength anyway. I think she'll be absolutely fine running three rounds of 800 meters.
Yeah.
Look, I guess with Georgia as well, like she's like new to the pro scene, but she's not got that many years to go and attack championships. So if there's part of her that thinks, okay, the 8 might be the one, she needs to do it now. She's not got time to be like, oh, well, I'll do a 15 again and I'll wait. Like if like you say, if her, Trevor and Jenny are sat there like, actually, I think the 800 might be the one where you can like really, really excel, then she's got to do it right now. There's no time to wait. You know,
yeah, I agree with that.
But look, anyway, super strong team, really exciting that we can. I mean, look, we could be going with gold, silver, and it's Gemma Riki as well. I'm hoping she can kind of get back to previous form and get like pulled around by those two as well. If we can get three Brits in the final, then anything can happen, right?
Yep, and I think Matt Bergen has a good chance of winning the men's final as well. To be honest.
Yeah, let's talk about that men's 800 team then.
Yeah, and obviously like Crawken getting in there late. I mean, that was well deserved. And obviously there was some commotion whether he was going to go, whether he'd done enough. I guess was a bit confusing. Basically, post the trials, when that first selection round went, the sort of finishing top two sort of goes out the window with your auto spot as long as you get the standard. So basically, if you didn't have the standard and finished top two by the time the trials was over and done with, and that first selection round is gone, British Athletics basically have discretion to pick whoever they like. Obviously pleased that they've gone with Crawken, because I guess, you know, he is just a man in form. Justin Davies could be hard done by. There was lots of guys they could have chose, but I think they've just gone with the sensible decision there, which is Tiernan Crawken. You know, he finished second and he's gone and got the time, and he's a man in form. But the men's 800, I mean, even for Patterson, you know, obviously we saw him, I don't know who we spoke since that Tooting BMC, mate, and I watched that, you know, him and Whiteman just sort of drawing it down the home straight. I think Patterson's going to get fit and fair. He's been there before. Crawken is going to be a great experience for him. It's going to be a tough, yeah, he's going to do very well if he makes it out of heat, so I think Crawken. And I just think where that men's 800 is, you know, every single bloke there is inside 144.5.
Yeah.
Which is the standard. And what's Crawken, 144.4 or something? So he's only literally just snuck the standard. Not to say times are everything, because heats are, you know, heats and semis are run in different ways. They're not a pace race, but the 800 over the previous years, is they just get after it. They don't muck about in the heats.
It doesn't tend to favour new athletes to the world champ scene as well. The 800 heats and semis,
so difficult.
Unless you're an absolute phenom, like you get spat out in your first champs. Pretty much it's happened to all the guys over the years. I think, yeah, like you say, if Crawken can get out of the heats, Patterson can make the final, and then Bergen has got to be shooting for a medal. And like you say, like, he's got to be shooting for gold.
Yeah, Bergen has. Challenging Wanyonyi. Wanyonyi's raced so much. The last few Diamond Leagues, the conditions weren't great. What was it, like Brussels, Lausanne? Zurich, the conditions are okay. But I think a lot of athletes are just looking. I think it's hard because the weather and everything, but you look at Neguse. Neguse apparently was ill, had a cold, classic. Yeah, Zurich Diamond League, but it doesn't surprise me. You know, he's had a long season. He's been on the road a lot. The colds are easy to pick up. Okay. And yeah, Josh Hoey as well just runs out of legs. And actually a lot of athletes are looking at, you know, some of the big guns are looking a little leggy. This is why I'm all over Cole Hocker for the favorite for the men's 1500. You know, you can say about Laros, obviously he's closing, you know, the last couple of races in 12.5. He's dominating, he's winning. But, you know, he's running 3.30 and 3.29. There's loads of guys who can do that. And actually, there's loads of guys who can run 12.5 for the last 100 as well. You know, Hocker's a master at it. Ethan Strand, Jonah Kowich, like these guys, all those three in America, we haven't seen at all. And yeah. I think because they're smart, they know that they can't have a race going into Tokyo. And you don't want to be...
Laros won't medal.
I don't think Laros medals. And because he's showing all his cards. Like that is Nils Laros at his absolute best for me. And I think everyone knows what you're going to get from Laros now. And I'm not sure he'll have another gear to go. It was incredible. And he is going to be like over the next Olympic cycle and through the next few years, I mean, he's going to be the man. But I think he's probably raced a little bit too much going into the Worlds for me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And obviously, just to confirm the British team, no surprises really in terms of that 1500. Josh Kerr obviously gets his spot as the champ. And then Elliot Giles, Neil Gawley, and then Jake Whiteman gets in there on that medical exemption from British champs. I guess the only argument you could have made was Mills over Whiteman, but I think this is the result we expected in there. So nothing crazy at all. That I guess the question is, how are these boys going to do? I mean, Josh Kerr seems like he's having just as good a prep as he ever does. He's pretty locked in. He's spoken on kind of his YouTube channel and interviews about getting ready, building, and like, again, he keeps his cards fairly close to his chest as well, and we'll be getting a big training camp in, and we've definitely not seen the best of him. The others though, Gawley had some issues early season. He's one that, look, we really think, well, I'm pretty sure we do anyway, I think we're agreed on this, that Gawley can compete on the world stage. We're just waiting to see it, waiting to have that chance that really clicks for him. Wyman's obviously done it in the past, but how much is that illness or whatever it was that Wyman had at British champs, how much has that knocked him back at all? And then where does someone like Giles finish? We've got four guys in here. Question you've put on our notes, Matt, is do any Brits medal?
I think maybe I should have put the question, does anyone bar Kerr make the final? I think is a massive success if Wyman, Gawley and Giles make the final. And just purely because of the depth. I mean, you know, Whiteman and Gawley race a Diamond League. And again, I know it's a pace race. What were they, 8th and 9th or 9th and 10th? Or, you know, it's quite a long way down. And even a field that you could add a lot more. The Diamond League, was it the one? Just trying to think, man. There's been so many. But I think it might have been Lausanne maybe. Or no, Brussels, wasn't it? It was Brussels. And I think with those guys, that was a semi-final field the other day in Brussels. Like, you have got big names, but there's so many big names in the sport now. The depth is incredible. I think one of the reasons the depth is just incredible is I just feel like a lot of people in the game now, and this is the same in the UK, you know, even domestically, the depth is insane. We've got 50 people running sub 340 in the UK, but yeah. If you run 334 and you're Henry McCluckie, you're fifth or sixth in the UK right now. Adam Falk, you know, those guys. So it's the top isn't moving on, and it's the same on the world level. The top isn't really getting much faster, maybe a teeny bit, but the depth is incredible. And you know, I just think everyone has access to all the best gear now, all the best products, all the best supplements. Everyone is just, they're just ticking boxes. You know, there's so much information shared. And I was having a chat with someone a little while ago about cycling, and the reason the Peloton's moved on so much in cycling is because the fueling and the science behind the Peloton has just increased massively. And I think it's exactly the same in our sport. And that's a problem for our guys like Whiteman and Gourley and Draft, because it will be a big success for them to make the final. And I think that will give Whiteman enough sort of confidence to then bounce into next year. If he stays healthy again, you know, he's pretty much had a 12 months where he's been healthy, which is a first for a number of years. So then he can then bounce on to, you know, Europeans next year, and then obviously Worlds, and then obviously LA, where he's probably going to, you know, end his career.
Yeah, I think you're bang on, mate. Yeah, if all four made the final, that would be a big success, I think.
That'd be huge.
Kerr for me does get a medal for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to think he's peaking. He hasn't. So sure. I'd like to think Kerr is peaking, but for me, didn't look incredible at the UK champs. Hard to tell.
Hard to tell, isn't it? I think it's really.
But the London Diamond League, even before that, didn't look. You know, did get beat by Kovic. Who's getting beat out on the circuit now. I think Coach is a bit overraced, obviously, but you know, a lot of these guys ran their fastest, and the fastest Diamond League we've seen all year was Paris, and that was in early July.
But I think that's a good sign for someone like her.
Yeah.
Because I think that this is the point we're making, is that a lot of people around the world have peaked too early, and they are not ready for a mid-September 1500 meter final. Josh Kerr will be ready for that, and he looked good at Grand Slam when he wouldn't have been training that much for it. Against some good kickers.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to be coming into it. Like, Josh Kerr has, for me, he's got as good a chance as winning as anyone else. Okay. Maybe he's not the favourite, but I think he's, I don't think anyone else has a better chance than him.
Yeah. And also something that we need to factor in Tokyo is, right now, there's an excessive heat warning. It's 36 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 80% humidity. It's just outrageous.
Yeah.
And so on the 14-day forecast, but it's going to be stifling. It's going to be so tough for those 10K and marathon lot. But yeah, so I guess there's the men's 15. I mean, the women's 15, that team is obviously locked in. Muir, Walcott Nolan, and Erin Wallace. You know, again, I think Muir is starting to show form that she can go and make the final, and she can be competitive in there, which is good. But Walcott Nolan ran a good 800 at 2:10. So, you know, that was one of her best, and starting to show that she has that speed. The British champs was a big blip for her. And then Erin Wallace as well, I guess delighted to see her sort of make the team. She's going to be on her debut.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the women's 5K is strong. Courtney Bryant, Fitzgerald, Nuttall, very strong. Courtney Bryant, how's she preparing? Obviously, we need to see her British champs. But then just obviously Mills in the 5K. And I think, again, just how competitive the 5K is. We watched the 3K in the Diamond League final the other night. And for Mills, I think he just needs to go in there, and he needs to make the final.
He does. And I think he needs to worry about that before anything else. And then
look, he will.
We can see how he goes, but it's he's run a quick time. Yeah, he needs to make that first kind of major final and go from there. Yeah, women's 10K strong. Callie Hager-Thackeray in there, no marathon for her, running Chicago instead, and then obviously Megan Keefe. So that's a strong women's 10K team. I think stronger than we've had in recent years, right? Particularly like as they're both in good form, and good to see Callie running over the 10 as well. Obviously no men over the 10K. Bobo's got a meal in the marathon. It seems weird, like approaching a marathon. I always feel like world champs, like you're kind of not really expecting it. And then it comes around, it's like, oh yeah, there's a marathon as well. But yeah, we're sure Amir will be preparing for that. And I think obviously when we spoke to him at Birmingham, when he ran the 10K trials, just talking about, and not in a disrespectful way, I think he even just clarified that as well, that the World Champs Marathon is slightly weaker than kind of your Olympic marathon or maybe your majors, and it's one where he can really target a top result, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been surprised though. He's out in Sestieres. I think he's back home, and I just again perform well in Paris in the heat. The mill shows he can do it in the heat. So I think when you have such a run like that in Paris, I think it does on a hilly course and, you know, tough marathon course. I think the next logical step is to be like, okay, I can do really well in a championship marathon. I think had he come away from Paris and, you know, sort of bonked and come 20th, come 30th or whatever, I think he'd be way more inclined to go hit up Berlin or Chicago or something like that this autumn. But because he ran so well in Paris, he's like, actually, I love a championship marathon. You know, there's no pacers. You got to think. It's slow. It picks up. There's surges. You're contending with the heat, all of those things. And he's proven he can do that. But obviously, again, I think Tokyo will be another step up in just the conditions. And it always surprises me. I think there's a catch 22, isn't it? When people are preparing for a championship marathon. I mean, I bumped into Amanal Petros, who's also Canova, Emil's training partner, but he's in Kenya preparing. And in Kenya right now, it was about 16 degrees. And, you know, most mornings it was crisp and misty. You're completely different conditions to what then. And Petros said he's going to fly in 2 days before Tokyo. So he's going to be, he's just relying purely on his physiological fitness. And he's not even stressing about the heat or acclimatizing heat or anything like that, which, I mean, time will tell if that was the right decision. But he's just focusing on, can he get himself in the best shape possible? And he did look to be in good shape, bloody hell. But yeah, and I think Emil is taking a similar approach as well.
Yeah, I guess Emil just wanted to be close to Renato, right? In terms of his plan, being able to evolve like day to day. And I think that's one of the biggest things that came out when we spoken to him, was when he's with Canova, the way that plan can kind of shift and move and reshape based off what Canova sees versus when they're training remotely, if you like. Which it still happens, but it's not quite the same as being with your coach every day. So, but yeah, we hope obviously everyone's preparations are going well. But yeah, definitely Emil's in there. And yeah, finally the women's steeple. So Elise Sauna obviously been flying all season, and then really pleased to see Sarah Tate get in there as well on those world ranking spots. Oh. So it'd be a great experience for her. Stupidly long season for her. And fair play for still managing to be running as well as she is at this late in the season. I hope they give her a bit of time off when she heads back to the States.
Yeah, and it's paid off for her. So congrats, Sarah. But I think just on those spots as well, the men's 10, obviously we haven't got anyone in there. I think Leonard came out and said that he actually, World Athletics invited him. Obviously, British Athletics declined the invite. And said, yeah, we're not taking you, because he didn't have the British Athletics, you know, B standard. Mm-hmm. I just think sometimes with these endurance races, I mean, definitely you look at Leonard and that would have been a big step up for him going to the World Championships and running over 10,000. However, you know, the message it does send to all Brits looking to compete in the 10,000 is you've either got to get down to 27 minutes or BA aren't gonna, and it's the same in the steeple, same in a lot of these events where they don't take people. You've either got to get down to this time or you're not going. And I think that can turn a lot of people away. You know, you look at, obviously we didn't have Highgate this year, but a lot of our top 5,000 men, I think they just bypass the 10 and then they move straight to the road.
Yeah.
The reason for that is, you know, given we had our most success with Farah, you know, 10. But I think the reason for that is because that standard is just, one, you can't get the races. The standard is ridiculous. And two, you're never going to get the opportunity. And I think it is a bit of a sad message in that way. And then another thing I was thinking about is, you know, Leonard is vocal through the season. And, you know, he was very vocal that he sort of wanted to, he's going to do the half marathons and stuff after the year, or he was very vocal that he didn't like the track and he's kind of sick of track and stuff like that. And I wonder sometimes if someone at British Athletics is sort of out there and they're seeing this stuff, and those guys always do it in a good light, and they share their content. But I think sometimes you have to keep your cards close to your chest, because even if that is how you're feeling, if you broadcast that to the world, someone at BA goes, well, this guy ain't ready for a world championship 10-day final.
But I think it's a catch 22, right? Because if the culture was, we pick anyone who gets an invite, he wouldn't be saying that. That's what I think anyway. And, yeah, and throughout the season, he wouldn't be going and chasing these times, because he's probably like, he runs his British record over on the roads and he's thinking, well, there's a chance I might get picked off that. So yeah, maybe I'll try one time to run the standard, or maybe I'll just run Highgate and I'll just prep in the hope that I get picked. And then you're enjoying your season. You've not had to over race, which is then why he's got a few, not poor results, but a few results that kind of don't match up to the best of his ability on his resume, if you like, but because he doesn't have to do it, because he doesn't have to go and chase him. And then you look like you've had a better season if you've raced three times, just got a load of training in, and all of those races you've nailed. So you and Emil have had a great battle at Birmingham and whatever. You've run a really good race on the roads, and then you've run like one like fairly strong meet in America at the start of the year, but you're not worried about chasing the time or thinking, oh, because that's not worked out, I'm then going to go do this instead. And actually, you can get yourself ready. And that's where, if an athlete has that confidence in the selectors and in things like that, you could then go to the world champs and you run a massive PB in the 10,000 meter final, because you just got to raise your level, right? And the whole occasion just brings you on. Equally, you might bomb, but does it really matter? Like, if you get a world champs ranking invite, yeah, we just love to see everyone go. But I think it...
No,
I think it's like
the reason I say
roundabouts, because it's based off like the history of, he knows he's not getting picked for that event.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean?
But at the same time, he didn't put himself in a position to get picked. And I think BA, they were never going to take him. But, you know, he didn't do the trial at Birmingham, you know, so he wasn't showing that he really wanted to go to the world championships. And then obviously you get an invite late season like this. BA aren't... You know, they're always going to decline it, to be fair. So it's, you know, he...
That's what I mean. I think if there was...
Yeah, about how he carried it through the season. But I think sometimes, you know, you might just have to show a little bit more desire and really make it known that, look, you're going for this team. You want to get on it. And one of the things he would have had to do is do the trial in Birmingham when Emil did it. You know, we saw him run away from the field and at least turn up there. But obviously his 5,000 at British Champs was a good result, and they make it now. But I think the problem with the 10 is, the reason why it's even harsher is because, Christ, they only allow 27 men. That is the hardest event to qualify for at the World Championships. 27 athletes line up out of all the events. You know, field events, you know, steeple, you know, they're small fields. I think they're only 36, but the 10 is the hardest. And I think, because it's the hardest, they should have BA should have much more leeway on giving people an opportunity to qualify.
And it's also the hardest to find a race for as well. It's the hardest one to go and nail a standard, because there's not that many 10Ks. The amount of 10Ks there are that are at that pace, like we've seen Emil Caress, who is arguably the greatest marathon runner we've ever had in this country. Roy Leonard has run the British record on the roads over 10,000. Like, I know, obviously, shoes, whatever. Like, let's ignore that for a sec. He's still got the record. And then nowhere near. Like, yeah. And these guys are top standard athletes, and they're nowhere near. And it tells you what you need to know, like how hard it is to go and run these times. But you put them in the right race and they've got a chance.
Yeah. I mean, really, you know, the guys need to get in like a B race where they can try and run 20, you know, 27:20 or 27:30, and it goes off at that pace and they close, because you set off at 27 minutes. I mean, it's suicidal for them at the moment. Anyway, that's the, I guess, man, that's the British team. And that was a little bit of a talking point there. And I do think it is a shame for Leonard, because, you know, and this is why all our men and women, they just bypass the 10. And if you're good, you know, the 5K allows, 45 in, you know, almost double, for God's sake. And then obviously the marathon allows that standard's probably more achievable than the 10K, way more achievable. And they allow a lot more people in the field. You know, Olympic marathon, 80 odd can qualify. And you look at Europeans next year, you can have four compete at the European Marathon Championship. So that's going to be way more inviting for all of our distance guys who compete over the 10 and over the 5 to go, 209:30, come on, I'll give it a crack. You got London Marathon, you know you're going to get an elite ticket there, no problems. And you know you got Valencia at the end of the year in December where everyone runs fast. So no brainer for our men and women to just move to a marathon. I think it's a shame. But mate, let's move on. There were a few races over the weekend. I mean, track season's pretty much done now. Monument Mile wrapped up. And obviously the Diamond League finals have wrapped up. And they were a little while ago, so we won't sort of go into too much detail for them. But yeah, I guess Emsley Carmile, Millicent Fawcett-Mile, Megan Keith talking of 10K, 4:26, beat Sarah Calvert. What's that, 4:06 equivalent? I thought that was very impressive for Megan Keith. I mean, that's good to see. I mean, obviously she ran well over 5K, did all the hard yards at the London Diamond League, but looks like her speed is coming down. So hopefully she can stay involved in that 10K for a little longer.
Yeah, mate. So it's an impressive run. A smart move. Obviously, you can do a race that's like not too far away, race over a mile, low pressure for her. And yeah, maybe not a 4:06, mate. Maybe like a 4:08, 4:09. But yeah, it's a decent run. But I think what you'd expect for a world class 5,000 and 10,000 meter athlete. But yeah, I think it's a good sign for what's going forward. Over on the men's side, McCluckey 3:53, which is staggering time on British soil, mate.
Staggering time on British soil and Scottish soil as well, because the conditions were stinky. It was just, you know, pissing down. But they do put on a great event up there at the Monument Mile. And McCluckey just showing even more that, mate, just stick to the 15s. Just 15 3K. Exactly. Don't try and get involved in that 5K. You know, I think, you know, he puts away domestic fields. He's had a great season over 1500. He's running faster than he ever is. And I think next year, you know, when you look at it, and he, all he needs is to just run a little quicker. Once he starts running 330, three lows and potentially 332 high, he might sneak a lane in the Diamond League at some point, or a world tour. You know, gold label world tour at some point. Yeah. And then you're getting dragged to a 3:31, and then you're starting to contest with the likes of Gawley and Whiteman, who obviously, you know, have been suffering from injuries, and it's probably fair to say they are coming towards the end of their careers. And you look at Adam Fogg as well. There's a chance for some new names next year to qualify for the European Championships. And I think if you're McCluckey, I would opt for the 1500.
Yeah, I think as well. And I guess going to what you're saying about some of those names, thinking about hanging up the spikes at some point, I think Tokyo might be a real tell for maybe the likes of Giles, Whiteman, Gawley of where they go next. Because particularly I think Giles and Whiteman, because they've both been like had their fair share of injuries. They're both kind of like moved around events, obviously dabbled in. Obviously, Giles more so, but like with the eight as well. And I think if Tokyo goes badly, what's the desire for them going towards LA? I don't know. Maybe that's unfair, but I'll be interested to see. Say they bomb down the heats, right? Or
like P money, that's the desire. These guys getting paid, they're in big contracts. Of course, they're going to continue on. But yeah, I think they are going to come under pressure. And I think what the years when they were running, you know, the last sort of, I guess you go back to 22, when you've had like Kerr getting a medal at the Olympics, Whiteman winning the World Champs. Yeah, we were the best 1500 nation in the world at that point. Whereas now, you know, you had Stoney running 3:32 and you had Hayward getting medals at the Europeans. And I think there's been a few years where it's been almost impossible to break into that team since then. But now I think you're going to have people going into the winter and they're going to be thinking, actually, I can make this team. And I think previously they haven't had that mentality. At least me, so how can you have that mentality when you have someone like, you know, when you've got Kerr, Whiteman, and you've got these guys with the credentials? But I think if you're a 1500 runner, if you're Adam Fogg, if you're McCluckey now, you've got to go in and you've got to go, right, there's a spot there for me. I've got to go take it. You know, I'm just as good as these guys.
And
so what? The British champs 1500 final showed that. You know, Sam Carrick showed that for me, that look, you know, Giles, Gawley, they just came away with that. These guys are, you know, world-class athletes, but you can beat them at the British champs.
Yeah.
They're beatable at the British champs. And say that Gawley is, you know, he's a hat trick of wins and he's shown that he's almost unbeatable at the British champs, but it's so close. And you've got to go in there and you've got to believe. And I think all they've got to do is try and box off that 3:33 standard and they've got just as good a chance as your Gourleys, as your Giles, as your Whitemans. Yeah, Whiteman hasn't raced the British champs in God knows how many years.
Yeah, and this is the thing. They're going to have to. I think we keep saying this every year, though. We're like, oh, well, they have to do it next year, don't they? And then they end up, there's something happens. And
the thing is, no one's getting a time at the moment.
They managed to get out of it, so...
No one outside of them is getting the time. But I think next year, if people get time, that's going to put, you know, there's going to be a lot more to race for. And the time's doable for the Europeans. And then that sets them up for the Worlds. But it's, you know, those times for the Worlds in 2027 are going to get even faster. It really are. It's probably going to be 3:33.0. But yeah, so that was, McCluckie put the field away. I mean, that was a great run. And Megan Keith was second behind Teshum of Ethiopia. But 4:26, I thought, was a great run. And Sarah Calvert, 4:27, you know, also putting away quite a few internationals. So yeah, I guess Calvert must be the end of her season there. Obviously, Keith on to Tokyo. And then, mate, we'll turn our focus to where I was on the weekends, fresh off a plane, straight to Cardiff for the home nations. And I just love that race. I just think 3-lap course, you get to see a lot of the athletes. It's a good course. It's a fast course. Unfortunately, it did piss down. But
it was horrendous weather, mate.
Bad.
Not even just like...
It's so bad, Lum wouldn't even come out of his house.
No, yeah, Matt came to mine for a coffee before. He was like, are you going to come watch? He kind of looked outside. I thought, absolutely
Lum's
not.
Lum's scared of the rain.
Yeah. Well, I've run around that park enough times in the pissing rain. I don't need to go and watch other people do it. So
snuggled up on the couch with his little dog, mate. That's what Lum did and watched it on the stream. But Jack Rowe, he's doing Big Half. And in fact, we should probably preview Big Half in Great North right now. But Jack Rowe's doing Big Half and
aiming for the three-peat.
He's heading for the 3P. I think he'll get the 3P. He dominated, mate. But apparently, this is his watch that recorded this. He ran an 8-minute 3K. Between 2 and 5K, he ran 8 minutes. Mm. And I kind of, and actually, their first mile was just, it was outside 4:30. So they were on for about 14:10, 14 something pace. The first lap was quite slow. And then he put the foot down. And boy, you know, to finish up with 13:31 is a course record, actually. Beat Mortimer's course record
for he is supreme at road 5Ks.
Oh man, he's just like,
we remember those Battersea races that came out and everyone's being like, it's 4K because you ran so fast and just dominate. But like he is supreme at that. And look, mate,
he's so confident on the roads.
Yeah, I really wonder about Jack Rowe's move to the marathon, right? Like he nailed the standard last year.
Yeah, he ran 13:14 on the track this year.
But he didn't try and make the team.
He didn't try and make the team. No.
Yeah, I'm not saying, but like he obviously he put his eggs in that London marathon basket to try and run the marathon time. And I get it, he's run super well over the half, but last year he had a great season over 5K, and unfortunately due to selection issues. Didn't quite make it to the Olympics, and I think it's just put him off. And you see like times like that, and look, yeah, 13:31's a way off 13 minutes, but he is supreme over that sort of distance. And
well, I think
it's a shame. It's a shame if he does go back into
if Rowan and Emil raced over a road 5K like that in those conditions in Cardiff, Jack Rowe wins. And I think that shows that Rowe is, and I'm not sure Emil,
even the 10K, right? Like you got to think, okay, so this guy's amazing at the half. He's run a good 5K. Why aren't you going putting yourself in a good 10K? Like, and it's easier said than done.
Told you, but the 10's too hard. The 10 is too hard, and it's just not worth it for a lot of people. But yeah, I think I do agree with you on the roads over the 5K. Jack is better than Emil on the marathon. There's a big gap at the moment. However, Rowe might pop a big one. He is going to race before 2025 is out in the marathon. So we'll see. But 13:31, he looked very impressive. Scott Beattie's showing that he's back 13:37. That was good to see. Because he's had, again, a bit of an up and down summer. Just caught up with him very briefly after. And I think Beattie sounds like he's his harshest critic. You know, he's had a bit of an up and down summer, but you know, sometimes as good as going to Boston and running 13:04 is, I think sometimes it's the worst thing you can do because it sets you up for failure in the summer. Yeah. Sets you up for failure. You know, and I think it's so hard for an athlete to walk away from Boston and admit, I probably won't get any better than that. No one wants to admit that. When you run a PB, you don't want to admit, ah, okay, that'll be me for a year. Why would you? You know,
especially
that's just
that early in the year.
Especially that early in the year. It's not how athletes are wired. You're like, oh yeah, I'll go and run 13 minutes outdoors. I'll sharpen up. But time and time again, we've seen it doesn't work like that. It doesn't get better than Boston.
You don't need to sharpen up. You actually don't need to sharpen up for a 5K. Really? Yeah.
A time-based
5K. Because for these guys...
It's
not that quick.
Yeah, you're not running that quick.
So you don't need ridiculous speed when you don't have to run that fast.
Yeah, you're running...
We see it time and time again. They come into the summer, they drop their miles, they start running 1,500-meter sessions, and lo and behold, they run slower.
Yep, you're running 62s, and you know that's just what you need to do. You know, George Mills... I've shown that as well.
Yeah, but they've been running 62 since they were 13, 14. I mean, it's not hard for them to run a 62.
Yeah, it just needs to put 12.
They're probably closer to 2-minute 800 guys when they were under 15s. You'd have thought. Most of them.
Yeah. Maybe
so,
not.
So.
Maybe not under 15.
Well, around 15 then. Like bottom under 17s, they would have been. They'd have been able to run 62s for 800 meters.
I think BT's next steps just needs to go around 12:59 in Boston. Actually, does need to this year. So I think I saw the standard was 13:08 for Europeans. So you don't need to this year. But
it's helpful to nail it though, because
Well, no, it's actually not helpful to nail it because the world's window isn't open. I think the world's
But then you've done it, right? In the same way, like George Mills will not struggle to run a standard again now because he knows he can do it. Unless he's like way out of shape.
Yeah. Right. Rowe did dominate, though. It was very, very impressive to see him sort of squeeze back off a little bit, squeeze again over that last lap. But BT held himself 13:37. I think he's doing another. There is another 5K up and on the eve of the Great North Run again. They're doing another 5K up there. So he's heading up there. And then I guess we're going to see him on the cross and stuff. I know a lot of the Macau guys are going to be doing some half marathons. Valencia half is obviously going to be a big one in October. Yeah, it's full on with the road season now. And Alex Bell won the women's race, 15:46 there. She looked, very, very impressive and, put 10 seconds on Holly Dixon in the last sort of similar to Roe, really last sort of lap there. And Poppy Tank was third. And yeah, these women, the men's race, it was slightly better conditions. It wasn't actually hammering down, but these women lined up on the start line and it was just a monsoon. And so, actually, again, 15:46 was a pretty.
All the pictures, it just looks like a cross race. Everyone's covered in mud.
It was a cross race. It was crazy. There was lots of puddles out on the route. Sports Shoes did a great job again. And don't forget, it was the British Road 5K champs, actually. So we should say, Alex Bell is number one and obviously Roe also. And that road running champs obviously got cancelled in San Diego, but it's going to be back in Copenhagen next year in 2026. And I think, I hope Sportsy's Home Nations put on this event next year with it being the actual legit trial. Mm. And we don't have one of these like
random meets.
Mickey.
Or silly selection policy that's just something else.
Do you remember last year it was up at Newcastle and the course looked, people say it's a fun course, but it was wacky. Whereas this is...
It was more, it was a late announcement last year, wasn't it?
Oh, and it was a late announcement, yeah. It all got put together in like the last... It was a bit like the MC car. I mean, that was due to be in Manchester on the 30th and hopped over to the Monument Mile, which was way better. So I'm glad it did. But yeah, these things do happen late. Mate, I mean, so they were the races to go through. I mean... Anything, we'll just quickly preview Big Half and Great North. They're both on the same day, both on Sunday, and they're both going to be competing against each other for publicity, screen time. I actually haven't checked. Great North will be on the BBC, there's no doubt about that. Big Half, will it be on the red button? It has been in previous years.
Yeah, it has been in the past, but are they at the same time as well? Like, are they going to want to be filming two half marathons on the same day at the same time?
Yeah, I'm not sure if there'll be we'll check. Hopefully there's a field for it. A stream for it, sorry. I'm just trying to look now, but can't see anything yet. But we'll focus on Great North because I guess that's where, you've got the internationals probably going to be a little faster. We're going to see Mark Scott and Jake Smith, Johnny Meller. Those guys are going to go head-to-head. From the British perspective, you've got Kipchumba, Matuso, Bashir Abdi. Those are your top three. Felix Borov is no slouch either. So those guys are going to go head to head at Great North. We know it's a fast course. We just hope the conditions, so we check the weather, hope the conditions are good.
Yeah, then obviously women's side, you've got Ailish in there up against Chepkirui and Vivian Cheruiyot as well. He's won the race twice, but back in 2016 and 2018. So yeah, we'll see if she can make a return to Grey North and have a crack. It'd be good to see Ailish, I think, and see how she fares in that sort of race.
Yeah, she's going to fly me probably. I have a feeling she'll be ready to rip for sure ahead of her marathon as well. The weather, by the way, looks good. 18 degrees, sunshine. They start quite late at Grey North, don't they? Is it like 10:30, 11 o'clock? So yeah, it will be relatively warm, but for a half, not too bad. And then we'll move. So that's Great North, big half. Obviously, Jack Rowe's going to contest that one. Sam Harrison's down to run as well. Abby Donnelly, Rose Harvey.
Yeah, Jess Judd's running as well. Jess Judd, Charlotte Perdue. It's a strong women's field. Yeah, on men's, you've got obviously like Paulos is in there. And Derry Griffiths is in there. But yeah, Rowe pulls up. I think Rowe goes in as a favourite, but three in a row, that's pretty impressive for a race of that stature.
Yeah, Rowe goes in as big favourite. Big favourite for me. Yeah. He'll up. Yeah, Paulos, I mean, I haven't seen or heard much of that guy. Although he does have a 61, what's he got, 61.20 PB, something in that region, 61.30. So he could challenge. Delry obviously fell over at Home Nations. So don't really know what sort of shape he's in, but I don't think he's going to challenge Rowe when he's in this sort of form over 5K on the road. And he's just so comfortable on the roads as well. And he's just happy just to hammer it and front run these things. So yeah, I definitely put him down as a favourite, especially how quick he's run on that course before. So an interesting weekend, mate. And yeah, so lots happening. So we'll be back with a weekend episode where we fully preview the World Championships.
Yeah, we talk through all those international fields, mate. We give our predictions. We're just Hocker fanboys though these days, aren't we? So it's probably all going to be about Cole Hocker.
Like at the end of the day, he's the Olympic champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you are silly to count out the Olympic champion. He got it right on the day. He's a good racer. He ticked all the boxes. Obviously, he's doubling. Can't wait to see him double. Laros is doubling. Actually, we'll talk about this when we do the World Championship preview, but there's a little Norwegian guy. He's not little, actually, but there's a Norwegian under 20 called Moberg, and he's run 3:30. He was second behind Nordas, right? Before this season, he was like a 3:36 guy. His next best time is like 3:35 or something. It's ridiculous. He ran 3:30 not long ago. At the European Juniors, I'm pretty sure when I watched it, he closed in about a 1:46, 1:47. He ran a 51 last lap. He was a freak. And when I watched it, I was like, this guy's going to do something at the Worlds. He's going to be the next big thing. He's 17. I think he's
just 17. Estonian.
He's not a Norwegian. He's way better than a Norwegian. He's way better than Estonia. This guy is me. Yeah, people talk about Laros. This guy's run like less than a second slower than Laros. And yeah, his time won't be this year. But boy, he is a machine. And the way he can close is scary. So if you haven't watched the European Juniors 1500 final, go watch it. Because you'll start to be a fanboy of this guy.
There you go. I'll do that now then, mate. But look. Thanks for listening to us, guys. Appreciate it as always. We'll catch you very soon with that World Champs preview. And if you haven't already, make sure you check out our last couple of episodes. Obviously, Hugh Brasher on a podcast a couple of days ago now. Matt sat down with him to chat all about London Marathon. And so get your road running fix in there. But yeah, thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys soon.